I'd like to say right at the outset that today I am not going to preach a 32-minute sermon like my last one was. I was looking back at the audio files. Goodness gracious, what happened? And the week before that was 31 minutes. Today's not going to be that 32-minute whopper, but I hope that what you do here today would encourage you and challenge you as we talk about courage for the vision. Christina and I moved out to this area a few years ago, and before that, we had actually spent some time over right on the River Valley, right on the South Dakota side. But when we planned to move out to the country, there was a lot of work that went into it. There's a lot that preceded it. Mainly, she and I dreamed about it. We came over here a lot of times, we scoped it out, we did our research, but we did a lot of dreaming. What would it look like to live over here? How could we make this happen? We looked at what was available. We experimented with that other place, did 18 months over there, and then when we moved into Sioux Falls, realized, no, we really need to be out here. But after all that research and all that dreaming, it came down to a gut check. Were we really willing to do this? Were we really willing to pull the trigger on this? It was a matter of courage. Could we be brave enough to do it and to face all those risks and all those unknowns? And I think it's true to say that people can move into the future boldly when they have a vision and when they have a motivation. When there's a plan and the courage to pull the trigger on it, things tend to happen. And if you look at the next couple of months, next few months here at Grandview, especially when it comes to work with the board, we're going to be talking about vision. What does it mean to cast a vision and to begin to live into that vision? Well, what is vision? On a very basic earthly level, it means a clearly expressed set of mid-range organizational goals. A clearly expressed set of mid-range organizational goals. The business world would call this strategic planning. And every organization that's going to change and is going to go somewhere needs to do planning. Many of you know this. You're in administration of some sort, or you own your own business. But on a more spiritual level, a vision is a compelling picture of the future based on God's promises and guidance. Again, it's a compelling picture of the future based on God's promises and guidance. And my hope is that later this year, maybe in just a few short months, you have a vision statement, something that has encapsulated what God has revealed to you, where He's leading you, explaining where you, Grandview, are going in the next 3, 4, 5 years. But when you start talking about a vision and talk about change, it raises all sorts of fear. Because it means you can't stay where you are right now, in the comfortable places that you are right now. You can't stay there. You have to go somewhere else. That's what a vision entails. It says as good as things might be right now, God wants us somewhere else. And when it comes to fear, I know a few better books to look at besides Deuteronomy. Recall a few things about the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible. It's the final book of what we call the books of the law, the first five. Remember what the first five books of the Bible are? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Very good. Okay, so you have those five. So it's the fifth book of the law, or what the Hebrews call Torah. And it's called Deuteronomy. That's actually a Greek word. It comes from deutero, which means second, and nom is law. So it's the second law, or the second giving of the law, or the second telling of the law. It's really a recap of everything that happens in Exodus, and it fills in some of the details about the law and the man Moses. But what I really like about the book of Deuteronomy is that it takes the problem of fear head on. God casts a vision for the people, leads them through the desert, drops them off at the promised land, and then tells them what they're going to go into. And the people experience so much fear along the way. But Deuteronomy tackles fear. In fact, by my count, the words fear and afraid are used 36 times in this book. And we heard it in this passage, in chapter 31. do not be afraid. But you can see why they'd be afraid, these Israelites, because of this. Look at the first couple of verses there, chapter 31. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. And you can see right here at the beginning of the story that the Israelites would have a couple of fears. The first fear, and this is sort of the larger context, is that they wouldn't have the strength to enter the land. They couldn't actually act on God's vision because they wouldn't have the strength to do it. I mean, when the Israelites had first gotten a look at Canaan, this is almost 40 years before that, they had noticed, the reports came back and they said, actually, there's a lot of Canaanites. It's not just a handful. There are a lot of them. And they're actually a pretty great people, and they have cities with fortified walls. Deuteronomy 1:28 summarizes it this way. The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen giants there. And even now, in chapter 31, this is almost 40 years after that initial encounter, the Israelites were nervous about facing the mighty Canaanites. That's their first fear. The second fear is that they wouldn't have a leader anymore. Moses is 120 years old. Can you imagine trying to fit that many candles in that birthday cake? 120 years old. Anybody here know a 120-year-old? Does anybody here know a centenarian, a 100-year-old? Does anybody have a 100-year-old in their life? Okay, yeah, it's pretty rare, but it happens occasionally. I know a couple people in their 90s. Moses is 120 years old, and in some way, he's doing pretty well. He still has his eyesight, amazingly. But he's disabled. We see this when he says, I'm no longer able to go out and come in. He's not getting around very well anymore. And he says to the people, God has assured me that I'm not going to live. I'm not going to outlive this year. I'm not going to cross over the Jordan with you. And you got to think, for a people, they had never known a leader, a head leader, apart from Moses. They had never had a senior pastor, if you will, besides Moses. Nobody remembered anybody else besides Moses in that position. And that's scary. And Grandview has had a number of pastors here. Occasionally you've had some that have lasted more than a decade. And you know how quickly you can get used to having a leader. Well, 120 years. And all 40 years in the desert, Moses had been their guy. Well, that's a lot of fear when this vision is being cast. And then Moses isn't guaranteeing that he's going to be there. In fact, he's guaranteeing he's not going to be the leader. And he makes no statements about how the Canaanites have diminished in number, nothing like that. And so the Israelites have some very understandable fear. And you as Grandview, when we start actually thinking about what God is calling this church to and begin picturing it and envisioning the kind of love that God is calling you to, it can start to get scary. In fact, I pretty much guarantee you will experience some anxiety. But last week, Robin Duncan challenged you not to ignore reality, but to pray for courage to face your fears. And so we do face them. I think it's worth saying out loud some things that I've heard from you. And I've talked to a number of you now, and you've said things, something along the lines of this. We're asking these questions. Do you think Grandview can really get to a place where it can actually grow? Do you think Grandview can overcome its reputation for conflict? Do you think Grandview can have a healthy relationship with a pastor? Do you really think Grandview can go out and reach the region for Christ? Do you think Grandview can do something genuinely new? These are some big orders of business. And doubt begins to rise, and suspicion begins to arise, and fear begins to arise. And I have heard some discouragement here. Certainly there's hopefulness, but there's been discouragement and fear. And when we start talking specifically about vision, some of you will get scared, I assure you. I know some of you remember the last times that you chose to do something new here and something big at Grandview. And maybe you can say in that moment of discouragement, see what happened when we started talking about adding on to the building? Or you might say, see how much trouble we went through when we dared to hire a full-time pastor? Or see how this or that program didn't work over the long haul? And it's true, not every plan has worked, or it hasn't worked exactly as you thought it would. Or some things have worked for a while, but not in the long run. Some things have gone sideways over the years. And you start thinking again, do we have what it takes to go forward? But here's where I would ask you to look at the Bible and to see what it's not saying. This passage, and indeed the whole Bible, is not saying that God's people should have courage on account of themselves. When we're honest with it, the Bible sounds nothing like Deepak Chopra or Dr. Phil or Oprah or Katy Perry. Moses does not inform the Israelites that they should have more confidence in themselves. Doesn't say, believe in yourself. They cannot trust their plans or their own strength, these Israelites. They are to have courage because of God. They can be courageous because God is calling them into their destiny. If God reveals something to you, then he will make it come to pass. And God says, have courage, be courageous. Well, why? We've looked at the problems that the Israelites were facing, and I think we can be honest about the challenges that Grandview is looking at. But why should you be courageous? Well, verse 3 gives us an important reason. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. Out of verse 3, I really want to give you two things to be thinking about, Grandview. Just two things this morning. Two reasons why you can have courage if you believe God and follow this vision. The first promise is this, is that God will go before you. That's what it says right there in verse 3. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. And sure, for the Israelites, success looked unlikely until you factored in that the Almighty was going against the enemy. And in some ways, success will look unlikely as you begin to follow this plan. But you have to remember the Lord Almighty is going before you. He will destroy those who stand in your path, and he will appoint the things that he has promised. God will lead the way. And I want you to hear me. God will never ask you to go to a place that he has not scouted out already. God will not ask Grandview to step into a location, to be in a certain place of ministry that God has not already gone and scouted out. God will never ask you to go to a place that he has not gone first. And so when you hear God say, go, you need to hear in that command another command, which is come. God goes before. And if you're going to be courageous about the vision, you need to remember that God has done this beforehand. That he's done that very thing. He's gone before you. Look at verse 4. And the Lord will do to them, the Canaanites, as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And you go, who is Sihon? Who is Og? Is that something on HBO? No, Sihon and Og were two kings in the desert who opposed the Israelites. The Israelites, as they're going through the desert, they come across two very mighty kings with armies that are greater than the Israelites' armies. And what did God do to them? He wiped them out. Total victory for the Israelites. And God doesn't just say, hey, just trust me. You've never seen anything remotely like this before, but just trust me. No, God will say, remember what I did for you before. Some of you, I know, can remember God working here at Grandview. I don't think any of you were here when the pioneers established the church, but you have seen God work in the lives of the people here. Some of you have been ministered to in mighty ways here. Some of you got serious about your faith here. Some of you have seen God work in mighty ways in the lives of people through Grandview's ministries. And while vision is not about returning to the good old days, we can look backwards and give thanks for the ways that God has moved here and expect that he's going to do the same thing in the future in equal or greater ways. Verse 6 says, do not fear or be in dread of them, the Canaanites, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And Julie's right. You're never alone. It's not a possibility. You belong to God. He's with you. He lives in your heart. He's around you. He's before you. He's behind you. And some of you this morning, that's all you really need to hear. That the God who goes before you will not leave you or forsake you. You need to get the demonic thought out of your head that God somehow just takes breaks, that he hasn't been with you or he's not with you right now, that he would ever leave you behind. He is not like humans in that regard. He does not leave his people behind. God's word promises you that he's near as you walk into the future. And so that's the first, and that's really the big reason why we're courageous. We're courageous because God goes before us. He never asks us to go to a place that he is not already. There's a second promise if you go back to verse 3. God will provide leadership. If it's God's vision, and it is, then he will provide the leadership required to pull off that vision. Moses will no longer be the head, it's true, but God will provide whatever leadership is necessary. The people can have courage because they'll be supplied with that person or those people. And you see this because as Moses steps out, who steps forward? Joshua. Well, I really believe that God raises up leadership during a vacuum. There's a kind of natural expression of this. You may think that nobody's really able to do something or is going to do something until you step back, and then other people will step forward. There's some truth to that, isn't there? But I'm also saying with God's word that if you dare to follow the vision, God will raise up new leaders. God will raise up new leaders. And some of those leaders, I dare say, are going to be people in this congregation. These new leaders that get raised up might be you. Or God will ask you to step into a new capacity that you haven't been in just yet. You will be the answer to your own prayers. And you might say to yourself, I would never do something like that, or I could never lead that ministry, or I could never work through a budget like that, or I could never... Well, with God, maybe so. But God, I believe, will raise up new leaders even outside this flock. Because you might be saying right now, fearfully, it's foolish to be optimistic. I mean, look around at us. You know, we got 30, 40, 50 people. We can't do that vision with 30, 40, 50 people. It's true. You probably need more people. But here's the thing, and I can speak from experience here, that when you dare to follow God's vision, he brings people in to help with the process. If you trust God, he will supply the other people that Grandview needs. I've seen this in my own church in Sioux Falls. We started a vision casting process a number of years ago, and in 2017 we published this vision. And the way it looked is this, is that the vision that we cast in 2017 that we published, not a single word of that vision was true in 2017. All of it was future. We said, this is what the church will look like in the year 2022. So a five-year vision. And when we did that, we kind of looked around, we're like, who is going to pull this off? Not just how are we going to pull this, like, but who is going to pull this off? But you know what happened in 2017? Like, almost as soon as we published it? Well, we saw new people show up to lead. We said things like this in our vision, that we're going to grow into a medium-sized church with an expanded church facility. We said we were going to have strong ties with other Christian agencies. We said we were going to become a missionary hub, offering quarterly international mission opportunities. Well, we didn't have the leaders to pull that off, but in 2017, you know what happened? Dwayne happened. Dwayne showed up. Dwayne's an architect, and he's going to help us build out the building. Who else showed up? Kara, who's a leader in adoptive ministries and has great connections to other agencies in the community. Who else showed up? John did. John is a seasoned missionary who could plan our missions efforts. And lo and behold, this is 3 years later, turns out a lot of our vision has been fulfilled by the new people that God provided for us. I'm going to speak in faith and go even further. I believe God will get you the right pastor. Hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you're going to get a pastor from day one who will cast your vision. That's not it. It's not his vision or her vision. That's not it. The vision will precede the pastor. I'm speaking in faith here. I believe that God is going to give you guys who are here, the vision for this church, what's going to happen the next 3, 4, 5 years. And then you're going to find the right pastor who can help execute that vision. Notice what the text says here in Deuteronomy 31. It doesn't say that Joshua laid out the vision. God did. It wasn't even Moses, really. Joshua was going to fulfill the vision that God laid out and presented through Moses. And I'm trusting that your next pastor will come in here because he or she wants to help you fulfill the vision already in place. That God will find that right person, that will be the appointed man or woman to walk Grandview into the destiny that God has already revealed to you. Listen, because this is true. It's so catchy that it almost seems like it's tricky, but it's not. Where God guides, God provides. Where God guides, God provides. Can we say that together? Where God guides, God provides. One more time. Where God guides, God provides. It's true. He will not leave you without resources. He will not leave you without people. And he will not leave you without the vision. Because he's a good God. And he loves this church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love this church. Thank you that you have walked with this church for well over 100 years now. Even before it was incorporated, you walked with these people. Even as they were living out in dugouts and soddies, you loved this church and you brought it together. And God, if you could bring this church into existence, then you can do mighty things with it now. But I pray for this people that they would trust you, that they would hear all that you have for them, and that when they receive that they would trust you and have courage to believe that vision and courage to live it out, and that they would depend on your Holy Spirit. They wouldn't do it in their own strength, but that in all things they would look to you to fuel them, to make things happen, and by doing that they would walk into their future in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.